Almost like coming home. Speaking of July 1st, Canada Day, and the 4th is Independence Day, some of you remember our daughter Joanne. She was the age of, well, I won't say who, but she's now a senior, and my son is a senior, so I don't know what that makes me. But anyway, Joanne lives in Kansas City, where she's happily married to a doctor of optometry. But they have a summer home down in Nova Scotia, on the east coast of Canada. Joanne and David both love it there. And so there was Dominion Day last, was it Wednesday? And they always look forward to that. They have a great time, and it's a real community that they're in. It's a little place called Riverport. And they always have fish fries or salmon bakes or something, and then fireworks at the end of the day. Well, would you believe it? Wednesday it poured rain all day, so they couldn't have the fireworks. Decided they would have them Thursday. Would you believe it? It was so foggy, you couldn't see across a cove that's across the road from Joanne. So again, they decided to call it off. But then we got the biggest kick out of the fact that they decided they would celebrate Dominion Day on the 4th of July. So I have talked to Joanne since, and they just had a marvelous time. And it was a great celebration. And there's a number of Americans who holiday in the area, and of course they got the biggest kick out of this Dominion Day being held on the 4th of July. Again, I appreciate so much the invitation to be with you. And for those brethren and sisters that I've known for a number of years, I just thank God that the memory of the just is a precious experience. And it's been a joy to get to know you here at Erie and some of the younger ones that are coming along, to love them. I was really blessed yesterday. I sat on the porch of the store, and the families were arriving, and the doors would fly open of cars. Young people would pour out of them, and they'd see somebody on the grounds that they knew, and they'd run over and give them a big hug. And usually Mom and Dad had the same experience. Family camp is a great, great camp. And if you haven't been to family camp, we'll pray for you. It's wonderful. So it's full today, so you'll have to look forward to the weekend at the end of, on the Labor Day weekend. This morning, beloved, I have felt led over the last few hours to think about the holiness of God. You ever stop to think about the holiness of God? This has come to mind recently. 2 months ago, maybe, I got a call from a girl I knew in her late 20s. She said, "Arnett, would you take James' funeral memorial service?" I knew him as her brother. I said, "Why, whatever's happened to James?" He overdosed, 40 years of age, brilliant young man. I said, "Yes, I'd be more than happy to take his funeral or memorial service. And I'll be honest with you, I enjoy taking funeral services. It's a pretty personal time. You can look at the casket before you and say to the people, someday you're going to be there if the Lord doesn't come." So I agreed readily that I would take James' funeral or memorial service. I said, "Shannon, where is it to be held?" She said, "In the pub of the yacht club." Well, that was going to be a first. But by the goodness and greatness of God, he gave the liberty that was needed. 250 people there, much like James, going out into eternity with no knowledge of Christ. And so, as best I could, I preached the gospel. When I was finished, a lady, I surmise about 50, came up to me, tears flowing from her eyes, and she put her arms around me. She said, "Mr. McEntee, thank you for preaching the gospel." She said, "This is a very difficult crowd to witness to." She knew them. Within 10 minutes, 27-year-old girl came up, said the same thing. When the service was over and we'd dismissed and gone our way, of course the party went on, I might say, for a number of hours. Al said to me, "Dad, I think that's the first time you've ever preached with an open bar." And it was. There were some people that would get up and go over to the bar to pick up a drink as I preached. But I must say, from the time I started to speak, there was a hush on the crowd. One guy was overheard to say afterwards, "I didn't come to hear about Jesus, I came to hear about James." Well, Jesus would do far more for him than what James was able to. And so I got thinking of those two ladies, and make a long story short, as a result, we're now having a Bible study along with the boyfriend of the younger girl, and we're just going through the book of Romans by their choice. And has God ever given help in that? So I thank God for these opportunities. I'm getting into a level of society and culture where maybe normally my services wouldn't be expected. But it made me think during this week of the holiness of God. In fact, the young lady herself said, "You know, calling me by a name," she said, "Arnett, I'm convinced that we don't make more of the holiness of God." This girl professes salvation. But as I've said to her, where's the fruit? Where's the fruit? Beloved, I believe from time to time it's good for us to stop and consider we serve a holy God. And he expects the same from us. As an individual, I'm reluctant to speak about the holiness of God, knowing just a little bit about it. His love and his grace are much more popular topics and desired by people than his holiness. But as I said to the little Awana group I had shared the gospel with this past fall, spring, I said, "Kids, before I finish this study, I want you to know God, something about him, and that someday you're going to meet him." That's the same for this group of lovely looking people. We're going to meet God. That's about the only thing we can be sure of. It's appointed unto men once to die, after this the judgment. Each one, as believers, we're going to stand before him at the judgment seat of Christ. And I say to myself, as I see kids pouring into youth camp, young people taking their place as counselors, what do we know about the holiness of God in a practical way in our lives? It's vital. But as one looks at the wickedness of our day, we realize that both sinners and saints need to be reminded our God is a holy God. And may we ever be mindful of it. It was at the close of the year 1820 that Reginald Heber turned to his son-in-law and he said, "Would you write me a hymn about the holiness of God I wish to speak on this coming Lord's Day?" The young man left the company, went to the far corner of the room, took out a piece of paper, and he wrote a hymn we often sing: "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty. Early in the morning our song shall rise to thee. Holy, 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 merciful and mighty. Earth has no higher bliss. I've missed the third line. Holy, holy, holy. Merciful and mighty. God in three persons. Blessed Trinity. Isn't it great to know that you've got the entire Trinity on your side? God the Father displayed his love. Lord Jesus Christ proved it when he went to Calvary. And this morning, believe it or not, the Holy Spirit resides within the believer. What a God we have. Another poet, this time from the pen of Jim Elliot, who gave his life for Christ at the end of an Auca lance in 1956, 27 years old. And Jim Elliot wrote these words, "Only to sit and think of God. Oh, what a joy is this, to think the thought, to breathe the name. Earth hath no higher bliss." Dear child of God, is that the way I feel? I wish I did. To know him and his holiness. But let's turn for a moment from the sacred and rather from the secular and look at the sacred as we turn to Isaiah 6. You knew I was going to turn there. Chapter 6 and verse 1. I wish the Spirit would so impress this passage on my mind that it would change my life for his glory. Listen to what Isaiah says. "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train, or his garments, filled the temple. Above it, the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With two he covered his face, with two he covered his feet, and with two he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. The posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with tongs from off the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth and said, Lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sins purged. Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, Here am I, send me." Father, we have read together by your grace, your inspired word. Please, Father, speaker and hearer alike, shut out the world and shut us into God. May we hear your voice, we pray. In our Savior's name we plead. Amen. I'm sure we're much alike in this way, that we often remember events by events that took place close to them. You know, that was the year that Mom died, or that was the year that a young woman gave birth to a child. It might be a host of things, but it causes us to remember something else. That's the way it was with Isaiah. What did he say? It was in the year that King Uzziah died. That was the year I saw God. Beloved, I want to ask you a question up front. Have you had a personal dealing And do you have a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? I hope you do. You see, there's one of two places where we're going to spend eternity: in heaven with Christ, or with the doomed and damned in the lake of fire. Which is it going to be? You know, that doesn't leave too much room to wiggle and work your way out of a situation. It's one or the other. Have you accepted Christ, or have you not? Hard to believe, 71 years ago, I was a 19-year-old airman in the Canadian Air Force. I trusted Christ as my Savior. And I couldn't have had a better life. Oh, I've had problems, just like you've had problems. But you know what? I have one who's guided me, blessed me, and kept me. Hey, how do you beat a God like that? He cares for you, and he loves you, and he longs to be your Savior in all of the preciousness and totality of that wonderful experience. As far as this man was concerned, Isaiah, whose name means Jehovah saves, there were two important events that took place in his life. First, as far as he was concerned, King Uzziah. He had been his idol. He thought a great deal of King Uzziah, and he died. He'd reigned for 52 years, but in the year 740 BC, King Uzziah died, and that touched Isaiah, and did so in a tremendous fashion. But then he goes on to say, although he died, I also had a very important engagement. I saw God. And he says, the Lord, I saw him sitting upon a throne, verse 1, high and lifted up, and his garments filled the temple. What an awesome sight that must have been. Can you imagine it? This man saw God and recognized him as the Lord, and it impacted on his life. You know, that was the year Uzziah saw the Lord, and he saw deity. He saw a leprous man, his friend Uzziah, and he died. He saw a king that year, and he saw the King of Kings. And that's who you and I are going to meet someday. He saw a man who was a leper, and he saw a man, Almighty God, I should say, that same year. He saw the passing, and he saw the present. He saw the permanence of Almighty God. But he'd seen a man succumb to death. He thought a great deal of him, but it was too late. He died. He saw the mortal and he saw the immortal. He saw gloom and he saw glory. It all took place that year, 740, and he never forgot it. Friend, like Isaiah, we need to get our eyes off men and on God. Let's face it. This year in Canada, we have a national election, and all the political machines are going full throttle. Is it next year you have a national election? And it's, well, I hear it's the same already here. It's one thing about our national elections, they're much shorter than what yours are. And that's good. But, beloved, we get our eyes on men, and men cannot take the place of God. Oh, that men today would get their eyes on him. Think with me for a moment about the recognition of the holy. Isaiah had had an experience with God, and he said so simply, I saw the Lord. Now again, I come back to my earlier point. Have you had an experience like that? If you have had an experience when you have acknowledged your sinnership before the Lord of glory, confessed your sin, and turned from them, You're glory bound. God can't give you anything more than the assurance of his care and keeping today and your blessing for eternity. If you've got something better than that, please tell me. But I know you haven't. And I know you're wishing you did this very minute. Isaiah saw the Holy One, and he never forgot the experience. It remained with him. I can still see myself, if that's possible, sitting in the back row of the Seymour Street Gospel Hall in the city of Vancouver. And I wanted Christ. And as Robert McClurkin sat there with a big Bible, that little Irishman knew so well, what did he do? Eventually he turned to John 3:16. I could have quoted it for him. But as that man of God led me through it, I said, Mr. McClurkin, I believe that with all my heart. Salvation became mine. 27th of February, 1944. And I thank my God. And so Isaiah had had an experience when he recognized God. And what did it do? I suggest it changed the direction of his life. Now, it was out and out for God. What has it done for you? I know young people, and some here, that God has changed the direction of their life and they're out and out to serve him, to love him and please him in every respect. But there's room for more. I challenge you to tell me a better life than one given over to him. And as James Eliot said so beautifully, to sit down and think of God. Earth hath no higher bliss. But think about the preeminence in glory of the man, of the one Isaiah saw. This permanent experience had led him to see the throne high and lifted up. That suggests to me the majesty, the power, the omnipotence of the God who occupies the throne. Beloved, he's still there. We look at earthly men who are supposedly leaders. They have great aspirations, but they are pawns on the board, and the Almighty moves them at his direction. And if you don't believe that, start reading your Bible and reading your newspaper, and you'll see how the events of today are coming together. I'm just starting my personal study of the book of Zechariah, and it's amazing. Back then in Zechariah's day, God told him the things that would happen in ours. And you know what? They are. Beloved, we know how it's all going to end. And we praise our God for it. The throne was high and lifted up. The monarch of the ages was on the throne. Our ultimate power and authority. And it's here you and I are privileged to worship. Think about it. When you bow down at the close of the day or during the day, at the beginning of the day, whenever it is, you bow before the infinitely holy God who wants to bless and keep you. I'm so glad that I bowed in 1944. This book says that every knee shall bow. Every knee shall bow. Every knee, your knee, my knee, will bow. Every tongue shall confess, what? That Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Brethren, I want to encourage you in your prayer life to use the word Lord. That's his highest rank. Every knee will bow, every tongue confess that he is Lord. Why? Because he's bringing glory to God the Father. And when you and I don't use Lord, I believe we deprive the Lord of the honor that's due him. And we fail to give to God the Father the glory that's due to him. He's my Lord. my Lord. Isaiah, it was in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord high and lifted up, denoting his singularity, his sovereignty. There was no room here for earthly potentates. The Lord had all of Isaiah's attention. Where was he? He was in the temple. There he saw the long flowing robes that filled the temple, and there was room for no one else. Isn't that the way you like to communicate with God, young believer? Dear older one, it's with God. I have a personal audience with him. In the morning, as I go over my list and pray for those I know and some I don't, but I know that my Lord loves them and sent them to serve in various parts of the earth. Beloved, there's nothing to be compared with this, of being in his presence. This Holy One, the whole earth is full of his glory. I counted our brother John Phillips as one of my friends. Great author, fantastic preacher. If ever you're looking for good commentaries, pick up John Phillips' Exploring the Scriptures on each book in the Bible. One day John Phillips was driving a friend of his visiting from England. They were going through the rolling and beautiful hills of the Carolinas. They came to the top of the hill, and before them there was a created masterpiece. And the dear brother in the passenger seat began to clap his hands. And he said, "Lord, wonderful, Lord, wonderful." I wonder, as we look at the creation of God, he did it, and he spoke it into being in 6 days. Yes, I'm a creationist, and I thank God for it. And so the whole earth is full of his glory, and as you look at the majesty of his creation, see him in it and give him back the glory. Isaiah had been occupied with the explosion of sight and sound, and he'd been transfixed by those six winged seraphims. They proclaimed their worship of God as they sang, "Holy, holy, holy," back and forth to one another. They knew their God of holiness and justice. The disobedient that had been among them at one time have been banished. Even the angels that disobeyed have been banished from his presence and are in a burning lake today. Beloved, this is serious business. Our God is a holy God. I sometimes think and wonder, as far as I'm concerned, I know the answer. How much time do I spend with my holy God? If I appreciate him so much, how much time do I spend? Had a family reunion several weeks ago on Helen's side, my wife's side of the family. I missed her not being there, but she left me for another man, and I'm looking forward to seeing her again. But I said to my sister-in-law, a couple years older than me, I said, "You know, Barbara, a number of people have been after me to join Facebook or one of those social media." And in our group, there was a nephew who is a lawyer, and he's often called upon to sit on the bench and take the place of a judge. And just as Barbara and I were talking, I said, "You know, people want me to join Facebook." And as I said that, my lawyer judge nephew walks by, and without missing a step, he said, "Don't." Now, I don't want to step on anybody's toes here, I look at it this way. Does that activity get more time than this book? Does that activity in my life get more time than the bended knee? Beloved, there's no comparison. You and I have been redeemed by precious blood. And 168 hours in every week, how many hours does he get? How many hours does the world and whatever activity it might be get from me, a professing holy believer? I'm convinced we're close to the rapture. I believe with all my heart we're almost there. And if that's the case, I want to spend as much time with him and get to know him as I can. Les Rainey, I would think John is nodding his head back there. He spoke at youth camp years ago. I'll never forget one statement he made. He said, "Young man, you remember this. When you go out to meet God, the only thing you take with you is your knowledge of God." Think about it. You can't argue it. That's the way it is. And so there was the preeminence of the glory that Isaiah saw. But then there was his reverence. Note verse 3, will you? "And one cried unto another," these cherubim, or seraphim rather, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." Isaiah had been occupied with the explosion, as I have said, of sight and sound when he saw these winged creatures, when he heard their voices in perfect unison, crying the holiness of God. Now he sees him. "Holy, holy." And the psalmist puts it this way in 111 and verse 9. "Holy and reverend is his name." There's no name to be compared with his. He's your Lord. Did you get it? He's your Lord. He's Jesus. I know he's Jesus. He's the God-man. But he's the Lord of all, the triune God, the God of all power and of all might. And he gave his son that we remembered this morning. Oh, what love, what wondrous love. Psalmist said again in 145 and verse 17, "Holy in all his works." Everything he does, everything he has done presents his holiness. And I'm a child of his. Do I have that characteristic about me that when guys I know and have worked with look at me, do they see me as a holy man? See you as a holy woman, a young fellow in college or wherever? If they don't, guys, they should. Cost the blood of Jesus, the Lord, the Father's only Son, to make you his very own. Exodus 39 and verse 7, we read the words, "I am the Lord, the Holy One of Israel." And as the Holy One of Israel, he expected things from his people. Sadly, they failed to produce when they should. But what happened? God is faithful. And the land and the people he promised to Abraham back in Genesis 15, he's going to deliver. It's all shaping up. Read your newspaper. Read your Bible. It's there. You and I living as holy individuals, that our friends might see in us the Lord Jesus Christ, the power and the effectiveness of a changed and altered life. Yes, thanks be to God, he is holy. He was among Israel, and he longs to be holy among his people who are redeemed by precious blood. Peter quoted a verse from the Old Testament when he said, in 1 Peter chapter 1, 16, "Be ye holy, for I am holy." You're a child of God. There should be holy traits in you that have come from Him. Many of us here have children. Sometimes they'll look at a child and say, doesn't he look, poor kid, he looks like his father. Yeah. But there's something about him that presents the fact that they're same blood. They're the same family. And I thank God for my son and my daughter and for the joy they have brought to their mother and me. Beloved, you're a child of a king. A child of the king. And do we have a royal bearing about us? Something that bespeaks the fact that guy's in the family of the king, and that we thus bring honor and glory to him. The song of the singing seraphims was so beautiful and so simple. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Beloved, the whole earth, as we've said, is full of his glory. Not all of the land, but of the exclusive planet. He's not limited. This is the theater in which he displays his power. And you and I have the opportunity of viewing it and appreciating it and realizing it came from his hand. The greatest display of his glory was when the battle of Calvary was won. And the Lord Jesus cried victoriously, "It is finished." He bowed his head and voluntarily dismissed his spirit. He died. But 3 days later, he rose triumphant. And I praise God, as I'm sure you have many times, we praise our God that our Savior is alive. He's victorious, living for and in us. There was a response of that holiness in verse 4. I'm sure you noticed it. And the posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. The awesome presence of a holy God. Beloved, would to God that our God would so display himself to each one of us that we might realize and appreciate and give thanks for the fact that he's loved me and he wants me to live out his life among the men and women with whom I come in contact. At the sound of their voices, smoke from the altar fill the temple. And God, being worshipped, was the one who had called the very galaxies into being. But here, that was in the year that King Uzziah died, says Isaiah, I saw also the Lord. Oh, that this morning it might mean something to you and to me. Not to try and put these things out of our mind so that we can leave the chapel and carry on as we came in. You can't do that. You can't do that. Because like it or not, you're going to meet this moment in the coming eternal day, either at the judgment seat of Christ, at the end of a wasted life, or at the end of one that's been lived for his glory. If you haven't trusted him, you won't be at the judgment seat of Christ. No. You'd be at the great white throne. John says, I saw the dead, small and great. The mighty men. The men who were so vocal in life. Tried to be so powerful. Saw the great men. The mighty men. They stood before God. God commanded that they would be there. And that's where they will be. When the day comes in the plan and purposes of the holy, and they're called to the judgment, appear before him, the books are opened, their names aren't there, he will say, depart from me, I never knew you. I wanted to make your acquaintance in life. I spoke to you on that Sunday morning in July, but you didn't want to pay attention. It's too late now. And the one who would be your Savior this morning will in that terrifying hour be your judge. Oh, beloved, this morning, there was remission from the Holy, God. Notice it in verse 7. And he laid that coal upon my mouth and said, lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin is purged. It was the sight of the thrice holy God that truly shook the prophet. And then in the goodness of God, this experience was his, that's described in Isaiah chapter 6. With this, thy sin is pardoned, confession is made, and a rightness before God is experienced. What did Isaiah say when he saw the holiness of God? Woe is me. I'm in a terrible state before God. If I die as I am, I'll never know his eternal blessing and presence. Dear one, this morning, God loved you so much that he gave his only son, who died on Calvary's cross, to make you his own. And what does he want in return? He wants your submission to him as Savior, Lord. And then, just to live for him. It's no secret, I love camp work. I just wish I was still of the age where I could be in and be a counselor with the kids. But they tell me I'm too old. Of course I'm not, but they don't understand. I was walking on the grounds of Turkey Hill Ranch Bible Camp in Kansas. And up ahead of me there was a young man, and he had a t-shirt with something written on the back. That always interests me. I got close to where I could read it. This is what it said. Dying for me was the most he could do. Living for him is the least I can do. Guys, that's the way it is. I know happy young people who are enjoying life to the full because they're walking with one hand in the nail-pierced hand, and they're knowing the joy and the delights of pleasing God. I thank God for every one of them. And as I go through that prayer list in the morning, to try to breathe their name in the presence of the Lord and say, Lord, bless that dear sister. Bless that dear young man. Use them and preserve them for God. May they be sold out to you today. And may they know the joy of a life totally surrendered to the one who loved and died. Beloved, our God longs to be your Savior through the person of his beloved Son. He can do no more. When you go home today, take a few minutes somewhere along the line just to read through these first 8 verses of Isaiah 6 and pray as you do, Lord, please speak to me. I want to be like Isaiah. I want to see you and look forward to being with you for all of eternity. Guys, girls, older people, it's worth it. I know. 7 decades have come and gone, and I wouldn't exchange them for anything. Come to Christ this morning. If you're a believer, and maybe time hasn't been lived as it should have been, remember, today's the first day of the rest of your life. Good time to say, Lord, I've messed up, but from this day forward, I'm going to live for you. God bless you. Thank you for inviting me, and may you all know his nearness, his power, and his love. Let's pray. Father, collectively, all who know thee, we just bow together to say, Lord, we love you. Lord, we want to serve you. Lord, take me in all of my weaknesses and empower me with your Spirit to do your bidding. We'll remember this Lord's Day as one in which we saw and heard the voice of God. This we pray in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Again, thank you for your kindness. May God bless you all.
All right. But this stuff is with each book.
Oh, okay.
In the Bible.